in the future. You know, the old year, what is behind us, in this new year, what is right before us, right? So let's start out in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Jesse, can you read that?
Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children.
All right, so I remember standing in front of the bathroom sink as a young child, my face all lathered up in soap, and I have a plastic knife in my hand. I was imitating my dad shaving, right? You know, it was my dad, so because he did it, I wanted to do it, right? I hate shaving now, but that's besides the point. But that made me want to do it because I wanted to be just like him. You know, children imitate their parents typically because that's who you hang out with, right? When you're a small kid, that's who you're socializing with. That's who you know, who you like, your best friend. And then in later in life, as we get older, you know, teenagers, they don't want to hang out with your parents, so they hang out with other people. And we usually will tend to imitate the people we hang out the most. It's just the way it happens. In Proverbs 13, verse 20, Max, can you read that?
He who walks with the wise men will be wise, but the companion of a fool will be destroyed.
So if we hang out with people what just always complain, who are always angry, who are always depressed, you know, we don't get to that point where we're just like that. We're always complaining. We're always doing foolish things. But if we hang out with the wise, you know, we'll be wise. So it's very, very important on who we walk with in our life. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, Cassia?
And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for sweet smelling aroma.
So Paul's not, he's not telling us that we will be just like God, you know, with awesome powers, we'll be able to do whatever we want, but we can imitate the love that he has for us. The love that is unwavering, no matter what. He loves us when we don't deserve it. He loves us no matter what we've done in the past. Even if it means a sacrifice to him. He loves us that much. Now, it's hard to say the same, right? When we're going through life, you know, it's easy to love somebody what loves us back, who's kind to us. But can we say the same somebody what we're not really happy with? We're kind of perturbed with, right? Haven't used that in forever. You know, forgiveness is tricky. Forgiveness is very tricky. You know, it has a healing power with it, but we often don't want to use that healing power. You know, we'd rather hold on to our grudges. However, forgiveness is a big part of love. There was this young lady during World War II. She wrote a book, and she's very much more poetic, but I'm trying to do my best. Her name was Corky.
No.
Or
Corey.
Corey. Yeah, Corey. Already screwed up. Corey Ten Boom. Her, if you've heard of her, no.
I heard of Anne Frank.
Oh, yeah, it's so similar to Anne Frank. She was Dutch. She wasn't Jewish, but she would have been like somebody who would have hid Anne Frank. You know, her family hid Jews from the Nazis. Now they were caught and they were arrested. Her and her sister were separated from her father that day, and that's the very last day she ever saw him. Her sister and her were sent to a concentration camp, and that's where her sister died. You know, because of some clerical error in what, they're not sure exactly, but she was released from that prison camp, and then shortly after that, every single woman in that concentration camp was killed. You know, shortly after the war, around 2 years after the war ended, she was given a lesson at a church. She was preaching at a church, and she was teaching on forgiveness. After the lesson, people were moving around, and they were just getting up and going, and there was this man walking towards her. She recognized him. It happened to be one of the guards at the concentration camp. He said shortly after the war, he became a Christian, and he was so glad, overjoyed that God forgave him, would forgive everything that he's done. But he wanted to know, what about her? You know, he stretched out his hand to her, and she kind of just froze. And she thought about her sister. She thought about all the reasons that she should not forgive this guy. She didn't want to forgive this guy. You know, nobody would think any less of her if she didn't. You know, I can forgive a lot of things, but that would be very hard, to go through something so traumatic and so hurtful. It'd be hard, right? If anybody had the right to hate, it'd be her, somebody going through that. After it seemed like forever, she took his hand. She described the healing power that brought over her tear, you know, her to tears. She was quoted to saying, "Forgiveness is a key that unlocks the door of resentment and handcuffs of hatred. It is a power that breaks the chains of bitterness and shackles of selfishness." You know, we don't all have to be as strong as she was that day. You know, it doesn't mean we fail if we don't just forgive in a moment's notice. You know, we're not perfect. But that doesn't mean that we don't work towards getting better, right? We're supposed to be working towards being better, being imitators of God, showing His love through us. Paul doesn't say that we become God, but to imitate, not a perfect copy, but we're trying our best, right? We're trying to be like that. We're trying to be just like that. Ephesians chapter 5, 3 through 4. Stephen? Fornication. Covetousness.
This, let it not even be named among you as fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks.
Paul gives examples, right, of not how we should be, but people that don't walk in love, right? Remembering, Paul is addressing the Ephesians. Now, this was a church, you know, obviously it was an old city where this church was, but this city would have had huge temples to false idols, right? And in these false idols, they did a lot of sexual immorality. You know, it was everywhere throughout the city. people just looking out for themselves. You know, there's rude talk on every corner. You know, you could just imagine it's just those cities back then, there had been a lot of sin going along. You know, Paul talks about uncleanness, both physically and mentally. Fornication, sexual immorality, that's what it means, and covetousness, always taking, never giving, you know, greed. That would have been all physical acts, right? Of things that we shouldn't even be a part of. Then mentally, how we talk and what we talk about comes from our thoughts, right? So filthiness talk, foolish talk, and coarse jesting. You know, it's not always, some people take that coarse jesting really far because guys, you know, sometimes we don't really express emotions too much, so sometimes we tease. But I think this is more where they're like really, where putting somebody down. You know, that's all it is. It's just putting somebody down, tearing them apart. It's not in fun. It's just you want to tear somebody down. These things should not even be named, meaning it shouldn't even be associated with us. We should have no part of that. But rather, we should be thankful for God's love. You know, the love that he has for us, that's what we should be thankful for. And that should follow us wherever and wherever we are and whatever we're doing. Ephesians 5 through 7. Jesse?
For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God the sons of disobedience.
So we all know that these things aren't right, right? Even people what are doing these things, they know it's not right. They know it's frowned upon, right? I mean, it's no big shock, is it? You know those words, it's like, oh, yeah, I know that's not right. You know, we know these things are wrong. Yet the world tells everybody, you know, oh, do what's right in your eyes. Oh, it's all about you. You know, do what you like. You deserve it, right? Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Those are empty words. You know, those are words from the Satan to trick us. You know, that's not how we should be. Ephesians 5, verse 8. Max?
For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as in the light.
All right, so he's talking about before, right? Before we knew Jesus, we were in the dark. You know, we were shrouded in the dark. You know, what we've done in the past is in the past. You know, we have this choice. God gave us this free will that we have a choice. We could stay in the darkness or we can embrace the light. You know, God wants and is willing to forgive us. You know, so we're not only to walk in love, you know, be imitators of his love and walk in it, but we're also to walk in the light. The light representing the truth. Right? The truth that is out there. And when we see the truth, we need to follow it. And we need to see wherever it leads, that's where we should be. In verses 9 through 10, Cassia? So to follow God, we should have this desire, right? We should naturally have this desire that we need to learn about him. We should want to call on him. We should call on him a lot, right? He should be top of the list on most called on our phones, right? That's who he should be. Because the light, and God is the ultimate light, it's all goodness, righteousness, and truth. That's who we should be hanging out with, right? We should be hanging out with people what are of the light. Verse 11, Stephen.
And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them.
So the light, right? If you ever, I don't even, with digital cameras, it's all different, but back in the day, they used to develop film in dark rooms, right? And you couldn't walk in there with normal light. It had to be a red light. But it because it'd expose it, right? It'd ruin the pictures. But light exposes darkness. You know, if you bring a flashlight into a dark room, it exposes the darkness all around. You could see, right? You could see what you couldn't before. The truth exposes lies. Walk in the light, darkness cannot exist. We can't let it exist if you have light with you. Verses 12 through 14. Jesse?
For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest. Whoever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light.
So the light, you know, it'll show us. It'll show us what was in the darkness or what is in the darkness. It'll show us what's not, right? It tells us, okay, yeah, this is good, or no, this is bad. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, Max, can you read that? So we're not only to walk in light just for ourselves, because it helps us. You know, it's, if you will, it just helps us if we walk in the light, right? It helps expose our sins so we don't do it anymore. It exposes other people so we don't follow them. It helps to walk in the light for ourselves. But we're not just to walk in the light because of us. We're supposed to walk in the light for other people, for the others. You know, so that they could see God's love in us. Right? We can't hide that light. You can't put a basket over. If you put a basket over a flame, right? It's either going to go out or it's going to burn that basket, depending on what it's made out of. Right? So it's going to destroy things or it's going to go out. So we can't hide it. If we're walking in it, it's for everybody who we encounter. For everybody around us. Now, I don't know. I know it sounds like everybody made it to the New Year's. And there is a tradition around New Year's, and it's usually people make resolutions, right? And if we're going to make a New Year's resolution, I would, or something what we're going to work on in this new year, I strongly encourage that at least one of them would be asking God to help us in our walk. Asking God to help us walk in love and to walk in the light. Max, can you close us in prayer?
Yes, I can.
Thank you.